In the days of the Reformation, Lutherans insisted that justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. But is this still the case?
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In a world of moral anarchy, is discussing how man is justified still the most important conversation we need to have? The answer is yes, because we'll never regain a proper understanding of marriage or human identity or even morality itself until we first understand what it means to be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the centrality of justification at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find registration information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
We thank you, O Lord, for President Donald Trump's courage in acknowledging to the world a truth established 3,000 years ago, that Jerusalem is and always shall be the eternal capital of the Jewish people.
Ordinary authoritarians are content to forbid people from speaking truths, but he said totalitarians insist on forcing people to speak untruths. Whenever I'm looking at a school or researching, the very first place I go to is their chapel service. That just tells me more about what going on in that school and how it's oriented than anything else.
Those thorns and thistles came in Genesis 3 with the fall. The reason Jesus is crowned with thorns is because he's crowned with our fall. He suffered from his first breath to his last breath.
Luther says at the resurrection, it'll be like falling asleep and having a short nap, and we shall rise under the resurrection and feel wonderfully refreshed.
In various industries, they talk about people who are thought leaders. The things they think today is actually formative and become what the things people, more people, think tomorrow. Andy Stanley is one of those guys, not in business, but in kind of the emerging-ish wing of the church. He kind of spent some time there. He is a televangelist of a different kind. Most of the time when you watch Andy Stanley preach, it's kind of innocuous, light moralism. I mean, that's what it is. It doesn't save anybody, but it's not doing a ton of harm as long as you understand you're not getting a lot of Jesus out of Andy Stanley. But lately, he's been saying some things that have been drawing a little more attention than the huge amount of attention he normally gets, just preaching what he usually does. He's been talking about the Old Testament and talking about the fact that Christians need to, well, distance themselves from the Old Testament, as he says the apostles did as well. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on the 18th of May. We're going to be talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough, our feature this week in Pop American Christianity, about megachurch Pastor Andy Stanley's recent statements dismissing the Old Testament. Then we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites to play for you, and after we've played them, it's your turn to vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can even vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last 20 minutes of the program. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about Andy Stanley, megachurch pastor, and some recent statements, odd statements he's made about the Old Testament. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Typically in your big box Pop American Evangelical Church, how is the Old Testament being taught or preached?
You know, the common way is you basically allegorize the text. It's the narcissus that we talk about, where, you know, you read a story like David and Goliath, you make yourself the hero of the story, and, you know, just like David stepped out in faith, you've got to step out in faith with your five smooth stones to slay your Goliaths and stuff. The one thing that is absolutely consistent across the board is that evangelicals generally do not know what to do with the Old Testament stories or how they relate to Christ. However, I will say this, is that conservative evangelicals do understand that in the Old Testament that there are laws that are given and that the Old Testament has something to do with our understanding of morality. So there is a sense in which evangelicals still understand that the Ten Commandments have at least something, somewhere to say about our behavior, but less and less evangelicals really, you know, they don't know how to connect those things anymore. It's becoming quite abysmal.
Who is Andy Stanley, as if we needed to introduce him? Who is he?
A son of the famous Charles Stanley. And Andy Stanley is a, let's just say, one of the major pioneers and leaders within what has been come to be known as the seeker-driven or attractional church movement. He actually had some connection in the early days to the emerging church. You have to say it that way as opposed to emergent. But he literally was one of the young, up-and-coming pastors who apparently got it when it came to post-modernity. And for years now, he's been making statements from the pulpit that have left a lot of people scratching their heads, wondering what his theology is. He really sounds a lot more today like somebody who's embraced post-modernity and does not actually believe the scripture to be inerrant and infallible.
I have a theory here before we listen to Stanley, and I want to just kind of log it with you before we start listening to Andy Stanley on the Old Testament, and then at the end we can return to it. I shared this with Jeff here when we were talking about this last night. I think that what Stanley's doing is very carefully beginning to build a case against the Old Testament, because I think the goal here is he's getting ready to bring his congregation, as many followers, around to a much softer view on homosexuality.
I think that's what's happening here. I would completely concur.
Okay.
Yep. I totally agree with you. In fact, you know, on a recent segment of my podcast, we reviewed a very long segment of the sermon we're going to be listening to parts of, and it's very clear that he's moving against the Old Testament and its morality and telling people not to listen to it, because, you know, the next move after this is an affirmation of same-sex marriage, the LGBTQ XYZs, and all of the weird gender stuff that's going on in the broader culture.
And he wouldn't be the first in Pop American Christianity to attempt that move, would he?
No, but he would be one of the biggest names to do so. His name carries a lot of clout. And when he ultimately makes that move, and I don't think we're too far away from that, when he ultimately makes that move, he knows that his name is going to take a hit, but he's going to peel off a large portion of evangelicalism with him when he does so. Yeah, he's getting ready to lay down the other cards. I absolutely believe that's the case.
What are we going to hear first from Stanley?
All right, so we're doing this a little bit backwards. This is one of the last statements that he made at the end of the sermon that we're going to be listening to a portion of. And this was the Aftermath sermon series. He's preaching on the Council of Jerusalem from Acts chapter 15 and the conclusions that he's come to. But this is a statement made near the very end of the sermon that makes it very clear the motivation for why we're going to hear what we're hearing him say in the other two sound bites.
Now, is this important? It's like, it's fascinating, Andy. You're about out of time. Is this really all that important? Yeah, here's why. Up here. Because many have lost faith. Many have lost faith because of something about the Bible or in the Bible, the Old Testament in particular. Once they could no longer accept all the historicity of the Old Testament, once they couldn't go along with all the miracles, once somebody poked a hole in the Genesis creation, you know, myth, once all that went away, suddenly their house of cards faith came tumbling down because they were taught it's all true, it's all God's word, and if you find one part that's not true, uh-oh, the whole thing comes tumbling down, not Christianity. The Bible did not create Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus created and launched Christianity. Your whole house of Old Testament cards can come tumbling down. The question is, did Jesus rise from the dead? And the eyewitnesses said he did.
So, Chris, is he actually suggesting that if people have a problem with something in the Old Testament that they can't accept, the best solution is to simply get rid of it?
Yes, that's exactly what he's been saying. In fact, this is not the first time he's made statements like this. These are statements that are very consistent that he's been making over the past few years. And he keeps trying to rescue Christianity from the embarrassing details of the Old Testament. And again, he'll point to things like the creation account in the opening portion of Genesis. And so if you believe in evolution and you're believing what the scientists are saying and have discovered apparently regarding our origins and you're embarrassed by what Genesis says, don't worry, you can get rid of that. It what makes Christianity true is the resurrection. So you can almost talk about this in kind of a strange term. He's become a resurrection reductionist, if you would. And so that's the only thing that makes Christianity true. Forget the fact that the eyewitnesses and the apostles record for us that Jesus himself was a young earth creationist. He affirms the creation account in the book of Genesis, says that Adam and Eve are literal historical people, that Abraham is a literal historical person, and the apostles themselves affirm the historicity of such embarrassing miracles as the crossing of the Red Sea and the Exodus and other things. But in Andy Stanley's world, the Bible is actually getting in the way of Christianity, and the Bible is an impediment to faith, and therefore the solution is you can chuck these things as long as you recognize that the resurrection is true.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today. We're talking about megachurch pastor Andy Stanley's recent statements about the Old Testament. We'll hear some more of them. They grow more egregious every time we play them. We'll hear that after the break. You would not find this kind of nonsense of evangelicalism, this kind of dismissive language about the Old Testament, or as we will hear in a few minutes, the Ten Commandments in the Issues, etc., Book of the Month for May. It's from Pastor Jonathan Fisk, a regular guest here on the program. It's called Echo Unbroken Truth, Worth Repeating Again. In fact, he treats the Ten Commandments in the course of that book. Find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Well, Chris just used the term resurrection reductionism. The problem with any kind of reductionism is there's no limiting principle. We'll talk about that after this.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Children are a human right. Children are a lifestyle choice. Children are angels. Children are a nuisance. There are not enough children to sustain the economy. There are too many children to sustain the planet. Need some clarity amidst all the shouting? Check out the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Hear from moms and dads, pastors and teachers about what it really means to receive and value the gift of children in our lives. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Conservatism is not primarily about creating the shortest possible list of rules for how our society is governed, but is about preserving the permanent things.
What we say of the life in the womb, we say of Christ. In every ultrasound, I think, we should think that we are looking at Christ himself, who became one of us, who joined to our humanity.
How different the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told his disciples to love their enemies. Muhammad said, strike down your enemies.
What Messiah are we talking about here? I mean, for Jewish people, that ain't Jesus the Christ. It's someone yet unidentified.
Just to taste the four sound bites we have to play for you in the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, we'll play those four sound bites. You all just listen. And then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote right now at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, for one of the sound bites. And when we play, we will read your votes, we'll tally them, and we'll pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Andy Stanley's recent statements disparaging the Old Testament. Before the break, you used the term resurrection reductionist. Andy Stanley saying basically you can dismiss all of the Old Testament. You only have to believe the resurrection of Christ. The problem, as you well know, Chris, with any kind of reductionism is that there's no limiting principle. What's to keep Stanley from turning his knives on the New Testament next?
What's funny is that in reality, he is already turning his knives on certain portions of the New Testament, especially those portions that quote from the Old Testament, that pick up the morality of the Old Testament. And it, although on the surface, it looks like he, you know, in his sermon, he's trying to make a distinction between the Mosaic covenant and the New Covenant, he's not made a proper connection to the Abrahamic covenant, which is what the book of Galatians does. And as a result of it, the governing principle is if you're embarrassed by something in the Bible, you don't have to believe that. If you're embarrassed by how out of step the morality of the Bible is, you don't have to believe that. You just got to believe in the resurrection. So it's really convoluted. And oddly enough, it's a form of the Marcionite heresy. If your listeners are not familiar with that second century heresy, Marcion, this was a fellow who basically denied the inspiration and authority of the Old Testament scriptures. He tried to do what Andy Stanley is going to be doing here in basically unbuckling Christianity from the Old Testament, and he was soundly put down and rebuked and refuted as a heretic. And so what we're going to hear in the next coming cuts, it literally is a form of the Marcionite heresy.
So what is next from Andy Stanley here?
So he's going to be talking about the tail end of the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15 and the letter that will be sent to the Gentiles, and basically outlining the things that they should be they should be doing. And he's going to draw some inferences from the letter sent from the apostles to the churches that are not valid but quite fascinating and telling regarding what he's doing.
So here's the question. Why would James suggest they send that particular message to Gentile Christians? What does the law of Moses has been taught in synagogues every Sabbath? What does that have to do with these Old Testament-ish commands? And why these? Why doesn't he say, okay, tell the Gentiles, do not steal, thou shalt not steal, that's a good one. What else you got? Oh yeah, that's a good one. Thou shalt not murder, that's a good one. What else we got? Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's just go with three. Send them these. Why the food thing, and then this very general statement, and no sexual immorality? What's the connection? This is so important. Those imperatives had nothing to do with keeping the law of Moses. Those imperatives had everything to do with keeping the peace in the church. Tell the Gentiles, you make concessions like we're making concessions because we're going to have one church, not two. This was all about peacekeeping, not law keeping. Now, I want to talk about this one real quick. This is because this is kind of the outlier. It's like the dietary thing, kind of odd. And then he says, and, oh, yeah, and abstain from sexual immorality. Now, if I were to hand everybody a 3x5 card, and I were to say, tell me what you think this means or what this means to you, how many different answers would I get? About as many answers as there are cards, right? So what does this even mean? You're going to send a bunch of idle, you know, ex-pagans who, you know, participated in temple prostitution, who have a very different sense of morality and what you can and can't do with slaves. I mean, the morality of the pagan world, you know, you should know this. In the pagan religions, the gods could care less how you treated other people. The gods, there was no religious morality. Zero. Zippo. The gods just wanted sacrifices. Now, there was civil law in terms of what you could and couldn't do, but in terms of religious law, there was no moral religious law in paganism. It was a completely separate thing. So to send a bunch of Gentiles this and abstain from sexual immorality, what does that even mean? This is so important. This was a general call to avoid immoral behavior, but not immoral behavior as defined by the Old Testament or the Law and the Prophets. Why? Because they didn't have one. They weren't Jewish. But as defined by the Apostle Paul, who had been teaching in Antioch for 2 or more years. And do you know what the Apostle Paul consistently tied sexual behavior to? Not the Old Covenant, not the Ten Commandments. The one commandment that Jesus gave us.
So what did he do there, Chris?
Well, let's just be blunt. He lied. That's the only way I can say it. I mean, you cannot be this far wrong and not be engaging in deception on purpose. What he's literally basically saying is because the church, you know, in Acts 15, the apostles sent a letter out telling the Gentile Christians to abstain from sexual immorality, that sexual immorality was not defined by Old Testament or even the Ten Commandments. That's literally what he is saying. And he was basically arguing that the Apostle Paul never defined sexual immorality according to the Old Testament, which is patently false. All one has to do is look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. This is part of the imperatives or the, you know, exhortation portion of the book of Romans, which after giving us the good news that we are saved by grace through faith alone and that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Paul then picking up and showing how the law gives us, it tells us what a good work is, says this, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." All of these coming out of the Ten Commandments and any other commandment are summed up in this word, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The Apostle Paul clearly is anchoring all of our good works and the definitions of what is moral and immoral in the Ten Commandments themselves, because we understand that in the Old Testament, when we look at the different commandments and laws that are given, we make a proper distinction between moral laws as opposed to civil and ceremonial laws. And the moral law is eternal and reflects the very nature of God himself. But Andy Stanley is not making that distinction and instead is creating a distinction where there is no distinction, that somehow Paul grounded his definition of sexual immorality in something completely different than what the Old Testament says, and nothing could be further from the truth. And this is easily debunked just by reading the back half of all of Paul's epistles. I mean, what Andy Stanley is saying is duplicitous and straight up false.
But it is key to his argument, and that is, I think he will argue that the New Testament apostles, what does he use the word, unhitched themselves from the Old Testament, and we should too.
Yes, that's the implication. I mean, the goal here is to unhitch you from the Old Testament and its morals, and it's the Old Testament that gives us the basis for condemning, you know, homosexuality and other things. But I would also point out that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, also debunks what it is that Andy Stanley was saying, where Paul writes, and starting in verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So don't be deceived. neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers. And idolatry and adultery are explicitly talked about in the Ten Commandments, nor men who practice homosexuality, which is a form of adultery, if you would, under the Mosaic, you know, definitions, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So what he is doing is trying to basically move the Old Testament out of the way in order to put in place a different morality that basically says love one another, and therefore if two guys are loving each other, you know, then somehow that's okay. But, you know, what he's doing is the same move we've seen from, like, people in the ELCA, liberal mainline denominations and others. This is not a new move. This is just the same move being made in a different context. And the context now is big box American evangelicalism.
That's what's so, I was going to say, amusing about it. There's nothing amusing about this, but it is just sad to see Andy Stanley kind of recycling, and I don't even think he knows he's doing it. I think he thinks he's come up with this on his own. Recycling now very old and tired arguments that have led one church and even entire denominations into apostasy.
Yeah, and over and again, these moves are made in order, it's the same rhetoric, to save Christianity from itself, to save Christianity from the embarrassing bits of the Bible, as if it's the Bible that's the thing that's keeping people out of the faith because of the things that it says. But Scripture is very clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that everything in Scripture is inspired and written by God the Holy Spirit and is true. And so, you know, because he's not making these careful distinctions and because he thinks the Bible is the problem, the solution then is to attack portions of the Bible, tear that down so that he can replace it with something else. I mean, this is kind of like antinomianism on steroids. Attack God's law and the clear commandments of Scripture and replace it with a new subjective morality. I mean, that's literally what we're hearing here.
What's next from Andy Stanley?
You know, kind of the other shoe that drops then. And listen to the statements that he'll make about the Ten Commandments and telling us not to obey them.
The Old Covenant Law of Moses was not the go-to source regarding sexual behavior in the church. More importantly, and perhaps more disturbingly, if that's a word, or offensively, the Old Testament, or the Law and the Prophets as they called it, was not going to be the go-to source for any behavior in the church. Now, to make this point, because this is so important, I originally in my notes, I was going to put a screen up here that said, in other words, that means thou shalt not obey the Ten Commandments. But I knew someone would take a picture of that. And it would define me for the rest of my life. So I'm not going to put it up there. But I want you to hear me say it. Here's what the Jerusalem Council was saying to the Gentiles. You are not accountable to the Ten Commandments. You're not accountable to the Jewish law. We're done with that. God has done something new. Besides, he would say to them and he would say to you, thou shalt not obey the Ten Commandments because those aren't your commandments. Yours are better. And yours are far less complicated, but they are far more demanding. Because you see, look up here. When you begin to view every single person you meet, red, yellow, black, or white, rich, poor, vulnerable, not vulnerable, when you begin to view every single person you are eyeball to eyeball with as made in the image of God and a potential dwelling place for the Spirit of God, you will treat them well. You will not need chapter and verse. You will do for them what God, through Christ, has done for you. Any questions? This was a new and better day. This was an extraordinary day in the history of the church. Church leaders, the church leaders who were closest to the action, who understood better than we ever will. Church leaders unhitched the church from the worldview, the value system, and the regulations of the Jewish scripture. Not just how a person became a Christian. They unhitched the church from the entire thing, the whole worldview, that God loves Jews better more than he likes other people, that you're to build walls and hunker down and you wait for God to protect you. Jesus said, no, you're supposed to go to other nations and share this message. Everything's different. Everything's new. The whole worldview, the imperatives, everything's new.
Wow. Honestly, Chris, you know, I know this stuff is lurking around in the minds of a lot of preachers out there, but to have someone just come out and say it still is pretty shocking. What does he do with Jesus' words? You search the scriptures, and in this case, Jesus is referring to what Andy Standy derisively dismisses as the Old Testament, because therein you seek eternal life. These are they that testify of me.
He recognizes, you know, in the sermon that the Old Testament is like the prequel to the New, that it sets the foundation, you know, for the story of Jesus. But he sees in the Acts 15 that somehow all of the morality that is revealed in the Old Testament is now literally made void. It's a new day, and it's a different morality altogether. And so, I don't know if you saw the inconsistency there. He noted that if you see everybody as having the image of God, that you'll treat them differently. Well, I'm sorry, but the revelation that we were created in the image of God comes from the book of Genesis, from the very chapters you're too embarrassed to embrace. So, you know, it's fascinating the radical inconsistency here in the message that we're hearing from him. But it's very clear that he is attacking God's moral law itself and creating a false understanding of the conclusion from the Jerusalem Council that God's moral law revealed in the Old Testament, specifically in the Ten Commandments, no longer applies. Nothing could be further from the truth. And in fact, the Apostle Paul talks about how he says, do we overthrow the law by this faith? This is part of the conclusion of Romans 3. He says, by no means. No, instead, we keep it. And so he is not making a proper distinction between law and gospel, civil law, ceremonial law, and moral law. He's not making those careful distinctions. And he's not recognizing that within the new covenant itself, that the moral law is eternal and still is informative in convicting us of our sin and showing us what a good work is. And the other part of this is that he's not making a distinction even within the law itself between those laws that pertain to our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And by saying the things that he's saying, he's egregiously breaking the second commandment and taking God's name in vain. And scripture, you know, is very clear that those who would take away and tell you not to obey the commandments, that they would be called least in the kingdom of heaven, not the greatest. So he's really stepping on thin ice and really making a mess of things. But it seems to me that this is an intentional move on his part in order to basically get that law out of his church so that he can make the next step and just do what the liberals have always done, embrace immorality, and that's clearly the track that he's on. And he's been on this track for a long time now.
So that brings us around to our shared theory. How long would you guess it's going to be before Andy Stanley drops his Trump card and says, look, this is where we've been headed all along. I've got you guys convinced now. And it's time to embrace the culture's view of sexuality. About 30 seconds.
I would be shocked if he didn't do it by the end of the year. You know, no later than 12 months from now. But I would say within the year 2018, we should see a headline saying Andy Stanley embraces same-sex marriage.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after today's broadcast of Issues Etc. at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Get ready to listen to the sound bites and call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote. We'll be right back.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at MELHS.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.